Stone and Company delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game training camp starts tomorrow for the Tennessee Titans. Mike Vrabel will meet with the media at 11. I believe he'll probably meet with the team before that. I'm guessing tomorrow is all the testing and the intake and the here's the strength coach and the doctors and the and then rocking and rolling Wednesday morning on the practice field. Are the Tennessee Titans football season is here. Now, we kicked off the show outlining what our expectations for the Tennessee Titans are. We divide the games into five different categories. The games they will win, the games they should win, toss-up games they should lose, and games they will lose. I don't feel like I need more of an explanation other than that, right?
No, that sounds pretty straightforward.
Okay, so my list, for example, they will win at the Jets. They will win at the Jags. They will win versus the Texans. They will win versus the Jags. They will win versus the Dolphins at home. Now, I maybe got a little cocky there. Not going to lie. Maybe that should be a should win with the Dolphins. They will win at the Texans. They should win versus Arizona. They should win at home against Indy early in the season. They should win versus New Orleans, who's not going to be very good next year. They should win at the Patriots. They should win at the Steelers, who are a mess. And they should win at home late in the season against the 49ers. I think it's a toss-up at Indianapolis. I think it's a toss-up on Sunday Night Football at the Rams. Now, you talk to the national media people, and they, I think, would say the Titans should lose to the Rams on the road. And you could convince me that they should lose at the Rams. I think they should lose at home against Buffalo. I think they should lose at home against Kansas City, and I think they will for sure lose on the road at Seattle. That's six games they will win, six games they should win, two games that are toss-ups, two games they should lose, one game they will lose. What I do is I take the will wins and the should wins. I take the will lose and the should lose, put those together, split the toss-ups. I think the Titans, the expectation is 13-4. Your list?
I have Titans should win against Arizona at home week one. On the road, Seahawks should lose. Week three, Indianapolis, I will win. Week four, at New York Jets, will win. At Jacksonville, will win. Week 6 against Buffalo, should lose. Week 7 against Kansas City, will lose. Week 8 at Indianapolis, I have will lose. Week 9, Rams, I have should lose. Week 10 at home against the Saints, I have should win. Week 11, Texans, will win. Week 12 at New England, should win. Week 14, Jacksonville, will win. Week 15, Pittsburgh, should win. Week 16, 49ers, should win. Miami, I have should win. And week 18, Houston, I have will win. So I have the Titans. If I'm adding up my should wins and my will wins, the Titans going 12-5 this year.
And Ian, if you want to run down your list for the people.
Sure. I have five will wins, three should wins, six toss-ups, two should lose, one will lose for 11-6.
Those are high expectations. Mm-hmm. You think the fans have those same expectations? Like, and when I mean expectations, here's the thing that if I have to give Tennessee fans any credit, this is where I'd give it to them. Now, I think they're a little too over the top. But at Tennessee, if you don't meet the expectations, like, the Vol fans are done with you. Like, there is no way to win them back if you don't meet expectations. Now, you can fib to them for a while, but eventually you're going to meet the expectations or you're going to go. You know, Butch Jones kind of...
They've been putting up with a lot of it for a long time, so their tolerance level is getting lower and lower.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they had Philip Fulmer had them in the SEC championship game, and then a couple years later, Philip Fulmer was gone. Mm-hmm. So they don't play around at the University of Tennessee. Like, there are expectations, and when you get hired and you recruit some people, then people will fall in love with you, and it's a little too much for me, but that's how they operate, so that's what's... But if you don't meet the expectations at UT, they will get rid of you. Even if they have to come up with some fake NCAA investigation sledgehammer, get the coach out of there, not pay him his buyout, whatever, that's what they're going to do. And they've proven it, which I can give them credit for. Rick Barnes, for example, now it's basketball, so it's a little different. But if he gets bounced in the first round again this year, those Vol fans are going to be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, those Vol fans are going to be like, you know, this guy is what he... Here in Nashville, and I don't know what it is, but I feel like we say we have big expectations, and then sometimes we don't hold those in power accountable to those expectations. Now, the Titans are treated a little differently than the Predators, I believe, in this regard, because I think for the masses, when it comes to the Predators, there's like two sets of the fan base. And the Titans have some of this, but not as much, which is there's the diehard fans that love the team so much that any trade they make or any player they sign or any guy they pick is automatically going to be good. And any coach they have is their guy. And they will not ever turn their back on that, no matter how obvious the evidence in front of them is. And then there are the fans that, you know, do care and have expectations and want to make changes. And I think the percentage of fans the Predators have that are just so convinced that David Poile is God's gift to general manager, or that John Hines is a good coach, or those things, the amount of fans the Predators have that are like that, the percentage is higher than that of the Titans fans. So maybe the Titans will hold people accountable. But I do wonder, if these are our expectations on the eve of training camp, and the Titans don't meet our expectations this year, how will the fans react? Will they demand changes? Mike Mularkey did not meet the expectations of the 2017 season, even though the end result, making the playoffs for the first time in a decade, winning a playoff game for the first time in almost 15 years, losing on the road in the divisional round to the Patriots with Tom Brady, even though the end result was far superior to anything the Titans had had for years, they didn't meet expectations. Fans wanted to punt him so fast they couldn't get rid of him. What are the expectations on this? Like, how will you feel if the Titans don't fix the defense and they go to the playoffs next year and they lose in the first round? The USA Today predictions had the Titans at 12-5, just like Caroline's did. And they lost in the first round, according to USA Today last week, losing in the first round to the Chargers. Will you demand changes? Will you then look at the next season and start to want to hold people accountable? If Tannehill goes into the playoffs this year and doesn't win you a game with his arm, will you start to doubt the ability of him ever being able to do that? Or will it be like it is now, where it's almost blasphemous to say, you know, Tannehill didn't shoot them back into the AFC title game at Kansas City. He didn't score more than a touchdown against the Ravens last year. Maybe that's a red flag for winning a Super Bowl. I don't know. You know me, I've got a staunch rule on this show. You can't get mad at somebody for something they have not done. So I cannot bash on the Titans for not meeting expectations, because they very well may do it. They may win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know. But I do wonder, like, okay, what is defining expectation? How committed to these expectations this year, which, again, 13-4, 12-5, 11-6, that is the top of the AFC. How committed to these expectations are Titans fans this year? How upset will they be if the Titans don't meet them? What if the Titans don't make the playoffs this year? I mean, I'll use an example in my life, the Atlanta Braves. I'm a huge Braves fan. They were one game away from the World Series. They were up 3-1 against the Dodgers last year. Choked away game 5, choked away game 7, which I wasn't even surprised about. Like, that's what the Braves do. They choked away game 5, they choked away game 7. They bring all these players that have gotten them to the playoffs for the last 3 years back, and they weren't very good this year. But then they lost Ronald Acuna, maybe the best player in all of baseball, and they lost their left fielder to a domestic violence incident, and they lost their start catcher to an injury, and it's like, okay, like, the Braves aren't very good. Now, I'm not happy about it, but I also don't think you fire the manager because of all the injuries and everything they've been through. If you can easily explain why the Titans don't meet the expectations, that's one thing. But if this team, like, if this defense is just wretched this upcoming season, as bad as they were last year, and they're bad, are fans going to sit back and say, well, you know what? I mean, we just have to hope that Elijah Molden's going to be the answer down the road. We're just going to have to go sign more free agents, or we're just going to have to. Or are you going to look at this and say, oh, my God, this unit hasn't gotten better since Dick LeBeau left? And then Dean Pease walks out the door, clearly doesn't want to work with Vrabel anymore, and now it's a mess. Or will there be the accountability factor of fans saying, no, you got to either fire Shane Bowen, or if it's bad enough on defense, because Vrabel was the one who went to bat for him, got to fire him too. I don't know how the fans are going to feel this year. I honestly don't know how the fans feel right now. I know they want to pump their chest and talk a big game, but everybody around the league wants to talk a big game right now. Cincinnati wants to talk a big game right now. They got Joe Burrow coming back from injury. He's our future. You watch. So I do wonder, with these expectations, how do the fans truly interpret what that means for their organization?
I think it comes with a few things, and you mentioned injuries, and that is one thing that you cannot blame the Titans for. If they have Bud Dupree going down with another injury, knock on all the wood. Ryan Tannehill going down with an injury, knock on all the wood. I think that your expectations can go out the window, and that's at no fault of anyone. Another thing as well, is there a breakout team that the Titans are going to play this year that will break out this season? Let's look at Miami, for example. We don't really know a lot about Miami. Nobody's really talking about Miami. If Miami goes 13-4 this season and the Titans battle it out with Miami and ultimately drop that game, that was a will win that you had on your list, maybe more of a should win. If the Titans drop that game to a 13-4 Miami Dolphins team, I'm okay with that. If they end up going 11-6 because they lose to a really good team that we kind of overlooked this year, I'm okay with that. If Cam Newton, you know, for whatever reason, has a career season this year and he and Bill Belichick just click and the Titans lose that game as well, you know, I think unforeseen circumstances, injuries, you can add to that list, and also teams that we did not expect a lot from but got a lot from. But also, if you're going to dish out...
I don't believe in that second part, the hidden schedule. I only don't believe in that because for every team that you go into the season thinking is good or is bad that becomes good, there's always a team on your schedule
that you think is going to be good that could be bad.
Right.
I mean, I do think in here that there will be a game that we did not expect the Titans to lose, but I do think there will be a game that we don't expect the Titans to win.
Sure. I mean, every year I've done this.
Now, it could be a Buffalo. It could be a Rams.
I only have one will-lose game. Literally every year I've been doing this, they've lost a game from the will-win category, and they've won a game from the will-lose category. Every single year, without fail. So I guess they will win at Seattle, because that's the only will-lose game I have.
I mean, I'm not going to throw it out the window. And I think that's why a majority of the will-win, should-lose, whatever it is on my list, or should-wins and should-loses, because I just didn't feel comfortable enough in the Titans or in their opponent other than the Jags or the Chiefs, that I felt super confident that the Titans could either win or lose.
Let's get your reaction. How do you feel about the expectations this year on the Titans? Do you think they're fair? Are you willing to hold them accountable at the top for it? What do you think? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get your reaction next. Plus, the one thing that I am planning to do for training camp this year that is different than we've done it before, we'll get to that next as well. We're live from the Whole Song Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, I know going into this offseason, I know third down on defense was obviously a big priority. And I know Shane mentioned it too, that there had been a lot of work done in that regard. You know, specifically, what did you see in terms of the work done here in the offseason anyway? And did you see reason for optimism that things are, you know, going to get better in that regard?
Yeah, John, we're very confident that we'll be improved on third down. You know, it's just, I think it's well done is better than well said. We're going to have to continue to put the work in and practice and do some things at a really good speed to go out there and build confidence so when we go to the season, you know, that there's an understanding of what we're trying to do on each and every call and being able to go out there and execute it, and whether that's affect the quarterback or disrupt timing and in a lot of different ways. But you're right, it has to be better. The third down, you know, has to be better for us to be successful.
That was Mike Vrabel. Training camp starts tomorrow. It better be better if they are going to meet the expectations. Caroline Fenn, do you have a thought, or do you want to go to the phone?
To the phones.
Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Raymond has been waiting patiently. He's going to kick us off. Thank you for calling. What's up, Raymond?
Hi, Jared. Listen, when Vrabel took over, this team was a playoff team. We had a good defense when he took over, and the defense has progressively gotten worse. So, you know, just making the playoff, to me, the last coach did that, and it's time to hold him to a higher standard. He needs to fix this defense. He doesn't have a good track record. You know, when he was a professional defensive coordinator, Texas defense sucked.
Terrible.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The Texans defense sucked under him. They were the worst in the NFL. So, I mean, if he can't fix this, we need to hire a coach that can put someone in there who can. And quite frankly, with J-Rob's last couple of selections, if the coach is out, that's another strike on him. He needs to be out.
Yep. Thank you for your call, Raymond. I mean, you know me. You know I love talking about firing coaches and general managers and things like that. I think this is just me. I think you got to separate them here. I know it's easy to say, you know, one goes, they both go, you know, whatever. And maybe long term that is truly the case if you fire your general manager, that the next general manager is not going to want the last guy's coach. You know, I mean, they put Mike Mularkey on John Robinson, and Mike Mularkey had done enough to keep his job and still got fired. So, I mean, that, I guess, could be up for debate. I think these are two separate, though, scenarios. I agree that the Vrabel defensive coordinator thing, this is an issue. Like, this is, last year, you know, he played, I'm smarter than everybody, and I'm going to do this, and it was an unmitigated disaster. It was a nightmare. This season, he's going with some more of the same. They added Jim Schwartz, which in principle is probably good, but the MO on Mike Vrabel is that Mike Vrabel doesn't really like any help. You know, he thinks he's good enough to do it himself. Vrabel's history of calling defenses in the NFL is abysmal. So that is concerning. And I would agree that the defense has gotten significantly worse since the day he took over. And they have invested a lot on defense this year. I mean, they invested for a whole new secondary. They went out and spent maybe the most money on a pass rusher. They brought in a new defensive tackle. They've used first-round picks in two of the last 3 years on defense. They added a second-round pick last year that didn't play much, who's going to have to come in and make a difference. I mean, I think that they have put a lot into defense as far as getting it to be not as terrible as it is. So I do think I look at Vrabel and I'm like, okay, yeah, he's got to coach up that defense. The other side, though, is Robinson, which is, if they don't meet expectations this year, how upset can you really be at Robinson? And the reason I'm going to say this about Robinson is because I've seen bad GMs. I've seen bad, just truly poor franchise management. And John Robinson's going to miss. Every good general manager is going to miss. Not every first-round pick's going to hit. Not every second-round pick's going to the Pro Bowl. Not every... I mean, we can look at Robinson's 2020 draft and be upset about it because of how Isaiah Wilson played out. But let's not forget about 2019. Jeffrey Simmons, boom. A.J. Brown, boom. Nate Davis, boom. Amani Hooker, you hope, boom. I mean, like, that's four starters right there in the draft. He traded a fourth-round pick to get Ryan Tannehill, who might be the most efficient quarterback in the NFL. I mean, Robinson has done some pretty extraordinary things. They've had five seasons, and you all know me, that if it comes time to knocking on Robinson's door to you know, let the wood out, you know, about, hey, this isn't getting it done, I'm the first person to do it. But I also know where the Titans were before he got there. And I know that they were the worst team in the NFL 2 years running. And I know that they haven't had a losing season since he's become general manager. We all would have settled out of court for 3 out of 5. In terms of playoff appearances, with how bad things were in the past decade, how bad they were when Jake Locker and Mike Munchak were here, how bad they were when Ken Whisenhunt took over and put Zach Mettenberger at quarterback, how bad it was when Marcus was out there by himself with no team in 2015, and obviously it's a lot different. So I look at it totally separate. I mean, I think that Vrabel, yeah, you want to have your concerns on Vrabel. You want to get mad about Vrabel? You do it. Robinson, let's remember how far he's carried you. What do we have in the text line?
Trenton Dixon texts in and says, I wonder how fans will feel if the Titans drop 2 games to Indy. To me, that's unacceptable. That is absolutely unacceptable.
I mean, Indianapolis isn't, like, I disagree with every. I get into it with everybody on this stuff. I don't think Indy's very good. Like, and I cannot be the only person in the world who thinks Indianapolis isn't very good. I don't think they're very good.
I think the majority thinks that Carson Wentz is going to make any is that hidden puzzle piece that Indianapolis needed to be a breakout team.
People are saying
I don't
it.
See it.
They're saying they're pretending
I'll believe
like that's
it
the
when
case.
I see it, but I don't think that that's going to be the case. There's nothing in recent history that has showed me that Carson Wentz can be the quarterback that the Indianapolis Colts have needed. I don't see that. I don't see it. And in terms of how the fans will feel, do you think that they would under or overreact or appropriate react?
So I think it's tough to sit there and say, okay, if you lose the two games to Indianapolis, like this isn't college football. Where it's like, the only thing that matters in Ohio State is if we beat that team up north, you know, that kind of
but
thing.
But if you drop two games in Indianapolis, you can only assume that you're going to be losing a lot more games than that. If so those are the only two losses on their schedule, then...
I would say that. I mean, like in 99, Jacksonville was 14-2. They lost twice to the Titans. Like, you know, crazy things happen sometimes.
Right.
Because the way... Because it's a week-to-week league, like the idea of... We lost to Indy twice. Like, that's not – because you lose to Indy the first time and they don't play in front of the month. And so, like, there's a lot that happens between then. So it's hard for me to sit there and say, well, if they do this, then – but, yeah, if
Tampa
this division –
Tampa Bay lost to New Orleans twice last year and won the Super Bowl.
If this division is competitive this year, I'll be disappointed. And maybe not just disappointed in the Titans. Maybe disappointed in myself because I am so convinced Indianapolis has so much work to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was reading the top 10 things they're looking for to start the season. – One of them was, is the quarterback going to be any good? Who's going to play left tackle when Eric Fisher's hurt? Is Eric Fisher going to come back and be fine? And is Rock Ya-Sin actually a starting quarterback or cornerback in the NFL? Like, those are your premium positions. And, like, another one is where are they going to get a pass rush from? So Indianapolis has all these questions at premium positions. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think you win a lot of football games that way. What's next?
Kyle texts in and says the Jacksonville Jaguars are for sure going to be a breakout team. They upgraded everywhere on defense, and they have weapons on offense.
I'm not sold on Jacksonville as a breakout team this year. Maybe next year. Here are the teams that I think are, you know, possible breakouts in the AFC. I think the Chargers are a possible breakout. I don't think Denver is a possible breakout, even though, you know, the breakout teams are the teams that you truly never expect to be any good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never a team like that you expect to be good that breaks out. It's always the team that's like, where the hell did Buffalo come from? Like,
yes,
that was
a breakout team.
That's the kind of thing. So in the AFC, I can give you as like possibilities. I can give you Cincinnati, though I'm not a huge believer in it. I can give you Miami, though I'm not a believer in it. I can give you the Chargers. And I think that's probably about it in the AFC.
And I lean toward the most likely being the Chargers.
Like maybe the Raiders. Raiders. I don't know. I think they're so poorly run with Gruden. But then again, they think they're run fine. So that's for them to decide. What else?
Matt from Camden texts in and says, if the defense is as bad as last year, you have to fire Shane Bowen. The Titans are in a Super Bowl window, and if they don't at least make an appearance in the next 3 years, you've got to start making some changes. This team is too good to not meet expectations.
Bowen is absolutely on the hot seat going into this year. There's no doubt about it. I mean, but then again, like,
but you got to give him a little bit more
leeway. Coordinator last year, and right. Well, yeah, but everyone considers him the coordinator last year. He may not have been the coordinator last year, but everybody considers that he was the coordinator. Bowen is on the hot seat. He is on the hot seat. Downing is probably also on the hot seat, though we expect him to have good results. But yes, Bowen is absolutely on the hot seat. There is no doubt about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get back to your text, 615-737-1025. I do want to say this. So training camp practices this year are not open to the public. And so you all, the fans, will not be able to see what happens at training camp this year. You just won't be. And I hate that because I know how much fans love going to training camp, you know, as a kid. And I don't know exactly what you take away from it when a fan goes out to training camp, but it's usually free and it's fun to be out there. And I mean, let's be real. We miss football. So you get to go out there, you get to watch, you know, guy makes a great catch, guy this, that, you know, whatever. I am dedicated this year, and this program is dedicated this year to filling you all in as to what happens at training camp. Now, we will read what other people write. Jim Wyatt will be out there. TD will be out there. John Glennon will be out there. Joe Rexroad will be out there. Everybody will be out there. And they'll all write articles about who's impressing at camp or who's doing this or who's doing that. But I think we owe it to you with the access that's given to us because they expect us to report it to you, that we owe it to you to consistently let you know what's going out there during training camp, especially before the preseason games start. So I am going to try my hardest to make it to every practice, to jot down everything I think from that practice, and then come on the air and relay it to you. And I have no idea how that's going to sound. I have no idea how coming on air at 2 o'clock on Wednesday and saying, all right, here's what I saw at practice. I have no idea what that's going to sound like. Now, I've been to practice before, and we've broken down on the air, you know, what happened today at practice, and we've done those kind of things. But we all know that Floyd, quite frankly, wasn't really interested in anybody else's evaluation of practice. And then he would go out to practice, but we'd have to manage him going out to practice because the GM could not do, you know, 3 hours in the 90-degree heat, then turn around and give you his fastball for 4 hours in the afternoon, which I guarantee when I'm 70, I won't be able to do that either. So this training camp, I don't know how much it's going to move the needle. I really don't. But I do think this, you guys can't be there. You can't watch it on TV like a game. So the best thing that I can do for you is to go out there, and that we can do on this show, is to go out there and see what's going on and come back and report to you exactly what we thought from the entire practice. Again, am I going to miss stuff when I'm out there? I hope not. Is it going to sound great on the radio? I hope so. But I am going to, I've just decided that this year is going to be a total dedication as far as what I see at training camp. And you know, I was always the kind of kid who every semester would be like, I'm going to try to get all A's this semester. And then midway through, I'm like, eh, B's fine. I hope that's not what this becomes. I hope that honestly, that every day at 2 o'clock when there's a practice, you tune in and we've got either me or Caroline, or we've got it figured. We got it just loaded as to what happened that day at practice. And we will read what other people write because other people will see different things at practice. But that's kind of the hope I have here with this show. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We got the update from Adam Schefter as far as the latest with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So we'll also discuss that. Some of the NFL headlines are trickling in, but your Titans thoughts next as well. 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know I absolutely love those guys. They take great care of my home, and I promise you that they can take great care of your home. It is grilling and chilling season, and Hiller is honoring the home of the free with these specials all month long. Get your free grilling must-haves when you make your home improvements, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, or a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, or that same free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems. Their work at Hiller is backed by the happy you'll be or the service is free guarantee. These deals are only happening for a limited time, so make sure you call now. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Predators and the Volunteers. UT, boy, they love them. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, they take great care of my home. I promise you from the bottom of my heart, they will take great care of yours. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Breaking news here on NFL Live. Adam Schefter just one day away from the date that Aaron Rodgers is supposed to report to camp. News coming down just moments ago. What more can you tell us?
Laura, the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers are on the verge of an agreement that's not done yet, that should be done shortly here, that will give Aaron Rodgers enough concessions to bring him back to Green Bay for at least one more season. Now, those concessions will have nothing to do with added money, which is yet further proof that Aaron Rodgers was not seeking the type of new contract that the Packers offered when they offered to make him the highest paid player in all of sports other than Lionel Messi, and he turned down that deal. This is about the way things are run. This is about structure. This is about creating a path for Aaron Rodgers to leave Green Bay potentially after this season. The Packers have voided the 2023 season on Aaron Rodgers' deal, which was the last year in his contract. And they've also agreed to promise to review his situation after this year. So if Aaron Rodgers still wants a trade after this year, he can get it. The two sides will sit down and review that after this season.
You know, I think that's crazy about what Shefty reported right there is he can't get it if he wants a trade after the year. They have to want to trade it. I love this. Hey, they promised at the end of the year to review the situation, and then they might trade him. What? Like, what in the hell does that mean? Like, they'll promise to review it at the end of the year. So what did Aaron Rodgers get out of this? So they're voiding the 2023 season. Anything else?
He doesn't have to pay them $40 million.
Yeah, but you don't get
Maybe
anything out of that.
You don't get anything, but you don't lose $40 million.
But Shefty keeps hyping up this, like, he could potentially leave Green Bay after this year. That was always a possibility. It's the possibility with everybody and everywhere. It's the NFL. The only guys who can't be moved after this year are guys like Patrick Mahomes, who just redid their contract. Tannehill can't be moved after this year. Guess what? I expect Derrick Henry to be on the Titans next year. But there's a chance
Beyond
he's not.
That. But
there's
that's
a chance
okay.
he's not. Like he's that's how okay. this league works. This is not the NHL, where when you sign a guy, you are stuck with that guy no matter what. So Aaron gets nothing in return. Really nothing. And I don't know how I feel. How do we feel about Shefty playing into it? Because, again, I said, back me up on this. Did I not say weeks ago that Aaron had no exit strategy and that he was either going to pay the $40 million back, which I didn't believe he was going to do. He was either going to pay the $40 million back or they were going to ultimately say, we're not going to trade you, so either pay us the $40 million or come back. Aaron, with no exit strategy, was going to need some kind of a way to feel like he won something. So they're going to make something up that makes it look like they conceded something to Aaron. And there you go. So that Aaron can pretend like he didn't get called on his bluff.
And I think that's also why we've seen so many weird cryptic messages from Aaron Rodgers, is because he didn't know what he was going to do. I think he didn't expect himself to dig himself such a deep hole, and now he was like, okay, great. What
like, he didn't know what he was going to do in December or January when he started all of this, or he didn't know what he was going to do 2 weeks ago?
I don't think he knew what he was going to do 2 weeks ago.
I think
ago.
He knew what he was going to do on Friday. I think he knew. I think that when Jordan and Pitt, when he put up the Jordan and Pippen thing, and Davante Adams did the same thing, I think he knew he was coming back. I think he knew when he did the match with Brady and Bryson DeChambeau, he knew he was coming back.
I don't know.
I think he knew, because he had no exit strategy. Once you make up your
mind... Other than retiring and giving up a ton of money.
Once you've made up your mind that you're not paying $40 million back, you then, at that point, you are going back to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. There is no way around it. And so he was going to, again, try to drag it out and then get them to do something to make it look like he won. Adam Schefter is smart enough to know. I at least think this. Adam Schefter is smart enough to know that when Aaron's not making any more money, that he is only getting the 2023 season voided, and that they made a promise to review the situation after the year. Schefter's smart enough to know that that really doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Like that's not special. And yet he plays it to you all, the fans on TV. He plays it like it's a huge deal. Like, oh my God, can you believe at the end of the year, Aaron Rodgers could be traded? Anybody could be traded. Derrick Henry could be traded at the end of the year. And I just wonder if this is literally Green Bay orchestrating everything, because Aaron's feelings are already hurt enough that God forbid we have Aaron resent anything. So everybody pretend like Aaron's a big deal. Pretend like this is special. Devontae, pretend like this is important. And then that's why everybody's acting the way they're acting. But it's kind of embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing for Adam Schefter to know that this isn't a big deal and for him to still be like, they're avoiding the 2023 season. Like, 2023? You know, Lamar Jackson doesn't have a contract for 2023.
But that makes the story even more interesting.
No, it doesn't.
No. Acting like it's important makes the story a little bit more interesting.
Sure. I mean, Shefty gets to pop on there like he is Johnny Insider and gets to make this
he
a big
deal. He is Johnny
deal.
Insider.
Yeah, but like, I mean, Shefty is very usable. I mean, you look at these teams. When
well,
he says...
All these reporters are used
there's some
by
guys,
teams
though,
and athletes.
There's some guys, though, that you know, like when they're saying it, you know there's some there's some juice to it. Mm-hmm. Like, Floyd used to always tell me that he always thought John Clayton was the one guy who had the best information around the league.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I when's the last time Jay Glazer got worked by a team? You know, like, we see guys get worked all the time. Like, Diana Russini gets worked by NFL teams all the time. And I like Diana fine. She's a great personality. I think she's decent on TV. She's a terrible reporter. Ian Rappaport gets worked all the time.
Yeah, he does.
He is a terrible reporter. Schefter's not terrible by any means. Like, when you're doing this stuff, in my opinion, you got to be right about 80% of the time. Like, maybe 90% of the time, you got to be right. And not
well,
the Ian Rappaport.
To report information.
Right. But not the Ian Rappaport reporting of, you know.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Like, where I called him on him being wrong. He denied it that he was wrong. Then he updated his report in which he clarified that he was wrong, but didn't want people to know that he was wrong. Like, to me, okay, fine, whatever. Ian Rappaport always reports stuff, and it's, you know, whatever. Schefter is smart enough. I mean, to your point, he's trying to look like Johnny Insider. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, there's nothing important here. Aaron lost. At the end of the day, Aaron lost. He lost. He's still there. He's going to be the quarterback of the Packers this year. And my guess is, let's say he has a similar year this year that he did last year, he's going to be the quarterback of the Packers next year. Think about it. I'm the Packers. You're Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you know what? Fine. Come to camp this year. Let's have a good season. And look, if you really want to go somewhere, we'll talk about it after the end of the year. And we'll ultimately do what's best. You know, we'll do what's best. Now you go out and win another back-to-back MVP. You win the MVP. What are you going to say to me? You're Aaron on the Packers. You just won the MVP award for the second straight time.
I want to come back.
No, I think it's the other way around. I think you're going to say, okay, you said to me that you were going to trade me because I don't like you. And you know what I'm going to say? I thought about it. No. I mean, how Shefty's not dumb enough to actually hear that they promised that they would look at it after the end of the year. And the way he's selling it as if Aaron's going to be free at the end of the season. And that's just not the case.
But it's going to continue this narrative of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers divorce.
Sure.
I think that's what they want. Is
that's
to
what
continue
Aaron wants.
This narrative. Because when he is back playing for the Packers, I think a lot of people would think, all right, it's over. He's back. It's done. He's in a Packer uniform. But Adam Schefter saying that only drags the story out further and makes it a narrative throughout the entire season of if the Packers underperform, will Aaron come back? If Aaron wins another MVP, will he come back? When it's not really a real story.
Well, the question on the Aaron front has to be how much money is still on the table?
Mm-hmm.
Because
you were
going to
offer me...
Well, I meant like it was $40 million to pay back if you didn't come back this year. What is it to pay back next year? You know, that's kind of the question. How much is that going to cost you next year?
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, you know, as far as Aaron's concerned. Like, I understand, like, how people would feel and whatever. But, I mean, maybe he can retire next year if they won't trade him, and then maybe they can get a bunch of stuff in return for a 39-year-old, and then they can turn it over to Jordan Love. But again, like, to me, Shefty is making a big deal out of what he knows is nothing, and I don't like that. I think it's ridiculous. This is Aaron lost, and I think Shefty should go on TV and say, Aaron lost. Aaron dug in his heels, and
that.
He lost. But he lost.
But it's the same thing that we were talking about Devonta Adams. Him saying, I don't know about not playing with Aaron, because you know that if he would have come out and said, I'm just going to do what's best for my team, but it's best for me, he would never get any targets. I think Adam Schefter knows the exact same thing, that if he comes out and throws shots at Aaron Rodgers, I just blanked on his name, at Aaron Rodgers, I think he knows the repercussions of that. I don't think he wants to ruin any sort of relationships when his job is being an insider.
Doesn't this tell us who's leaking these stories?
Yes.
Highest paid in all of sports.
But also, that is so frustrating that it feels like there needs to be butt kissing and story bending. And I'm not saying he's bending the truth, but just looking at this story through a different lens, because he knows that if he doesn't, then Aaron Rodgers will throw a hissy fit.
Yeah, but that's how Aaron operates.
But that's not fair.
But that's how Aaron's always operated.
I know, but I don't like it.
Well, I'm just saying. 615-737-1025. Caroline's is coming up next. Caroline squeaked out last week by one game.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Let's give something away. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025. Live music is back at Ascend Amphitheater and coming to First Bank Amphitheater. To celebrate, Live Nation is offering $20 all-in concert tickets on select shows starting this Wednesday, 10 a.m. on LiveNation.com for a limited time only while supplies last. And caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to one of the shows that they are offering, which include Alice Cooper, Counting Crows, Modest Mouse, and more. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Last week, Caroline with the Mets beating the Blue Jays on Friday pulled it out. She's 1-0 for this month in the best of four. It is time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
We've got Phillies Nats tonight. That game is starting in just a few minutes. Give me the Phillies on the money line, minus 115. They've got right-hander Spencer Howard on the mound. He hasn't been great as of late, but the Nats have Joe Ross on the mound, right-hander. The Phillies have just been better against the Nats so far this year. And the last time that Howard and Ross were on the mound together when they faced off on June 5th, the Phillies won at home 5-2. So give me the Phillies on the money line.
I'm going to take the Nationals. I know they haven't been playing very well, but I get nice odds here. And Spencer Howard is not very good. You look at the Nationals lineup, it's pretty much intact. Trey Turner, Juan Soto, Josh Bell. I'm going to take the Nationals here to get it done on the money line. Actually, yeah, I take the back. Nationals plus 1.5.
Okay. We got Reds, Cubs, even the Reds on the money line, plus 105. We got the underdogs on this one. They've got Wade Miley on the mound. He's 8-4 with a 2.72 ERA and 17 starts. The Cubs have right-hander Kyle Hendricks on the mound. He's got a 3.61 ERA and 20 starts. Cincinnati's won 3 of their last 5 games, 2 of their last 3, and they have beat the Cubs 4 games in a row in their past 4 matchups. Reds on the money line.
I'm going to take the Cubs. Kyle Hendricks is not an ace anymore, but he still is the best thing the Cubs have going. I think they get it done.
USA, Australia, women's soccer at 4 o'clock in the morning. USA has lost to Australia just once in their all-time series of 28 games. They have a plus 63 goal differential, 95 goals to 27. USA got embarrassed by Sweden their first game in Tokyo, so I think they're still angry about that. I think they snag a win against the Aussies.
I think USA favored minus 350. I think they're going to get it. I mean, I still think we're going to win the gold in women's soccer, so I'll take us. I think, like, we're with basketball, I'm not sure how I feel.
Basketball, I'm out on basketball.
But with that, I feel kind of, you know, I feel okay. I am going to pick a baseball one. This is for tomorrow. I am going to take, in the Olympics, I'm going to take host Japan on the money line against the Dominican Republic. Now, you would assume that the Dominican Republic would have better baseball players than Japan, but these are players not on 40-man rosters. And the best players are on 40-man rosters. Japan, the host city, they can take anybody who plays in the Japanese league who's not on a 40-man roster. So basically anyone who's not Otani, they can put out there. I think Japan, I saw how much trouble they gave us in softball. I am going to take Japan over on the money line over the Dominican Republic in softball. In baseball.
Give me the Dominican.
Just to be different?
To be different. And also, I mean, if you look at superstars in the MLB, how many of them come from the Dominican Republic?
But you can't play those guys.
I know, but I like the sample size.
Can't play those guys.
What I've seen from the Dominican.
That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We are back tomorrow at 2. Mike Vrabel with his press conference tomorrow at 11 to kick off training camp. We will have full reaction to the open of Titans camp. What does Mike Vrabel have to say? What new news is coming out? Meanwhile, free agency ramping up in the NHL. Preds Insiders is next. We will see you tomorrow at 2.